books are opened. This is replete in Jewish tradition. God opening his book. He has a list. He literally has a list. That you got to wonder then, what kind of pen does he use? But he's got a list. He keeps track. And successful people are meticulously honest with their performance. Anyone who wants to excel to the top, they're constantly critiquing themselves. Whether it be in business, how did we do last quarter? Where could we be better? Where do we need to cut our losses? Do we need to downsize? Can we grow? Should we buy? Should we merge? Athletes always critiquing themselves. They have someone there say, you should do this better. Those who follow golf, they know that Tiger Woods, there was a season where he changed his entire swing. Like a year and a half, he did terribly because he changed the way he played golf. That's how much he critiqued himself. Even though he was great, he wanted to be better. Artists and musicians, those who take their craft seriously, not just want to rock out and, you know, get wasted, but those who really want to get to the top, you have to say, how am I doing? Could I do this better? How? Go to your teacher. Where am I lacking? Where am I struggling? How do I improve? And in the military, how do we do? You go through military history, looking at ways things, what worked, what didn't work? What are strategies we should use? If we want to grow in maturity, to be more like Yeshua, have a greater impact in the larger community, then we need to welcome the judgment of God. You may never have thought this, but this is true. What do you mean, Rabbi? Well, let's keep going. Next. There, let's go from the Psalms itself. We should rejoice in his judgment. Now, this is a beautiful psalm. It's actually said, those who know the traditional morning Siddur, the Shacharit, this is said every day. This is Psalm 98, a psalm. Sing to Adonai a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have won victory for him. Adonai has made his salvation known. He has revealed his righteousness before the eyes of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy, and sing praises. So here first, there's a rejoicing that God has revealed his salvation. His Yeshua. That we can rejoice in. A lot of people, they stop rejoicing there. Well, there's more verses. Let's keep going. Sing praises to Adonai with the harp and a voice of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the shofar. It's an instrument of worship. This art, you did a very beautiful job, by the way, in the song. Blast the sound before the king, Adonai. Let the sea roar and all within it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy before Adonai. For this is the reason he is coming to judge the earth. The entire creation is singing and shouting because God's coming to judge the earth. Why? He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with fairness. Because God is the true judge. We say when some Jewish practice, when someone dies, Boch Dayan Haimit. Blessed is the God of truth or the true judge. Because God, only God knows. And we can rejoice in the judgment of God because it's right, because it's fair. Next. You wonder, how could his judgment really equal a party? Those of you with The Simpsons, remember that? Ned Flanders? It says, yay, judgment, right? Sarcasm is the 10th fruit of the Spirit, if you didn't know. So there are a couple of verses. That's right. It's a gift. The reason why his judgment really does require celebration is in Psalm 82:8. It talks about that he will judge the nations and he will inherit the nations. But the deal when God judges, his kingdom expands because he's establishing what's true. You know, when the Romans would conquer different territories, they would establish Roman law. The same thing with God. When God would conquer, now the kingdom of God expands. But unlike the Roman Empire, this is a good one. There's truth. People want to talk about truth. Truth comes in the judgment of God. And I reference, it's the story of Jacob and Laban when they're setting up a covenant. You'll not do harm to me. I won't do harm to you. You won't go this way. I won't go that way. We'll respect each other and let God judge between us. Basically, he'll keep things right. He'll expose what's true. If one of us violates this, God will expose it. There's justice, which is a big popular word today. There's justice in the judgment of God. Because his throne is one of justice, one of judgment. And he gives out justice. If you think about this, the picture of Solomon and the two women who brought the baby to Solomon, he sat on his throne and he meted justice. Whereas the truth was somewhat vague, Solomon, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, was able to decipher who is the true mother. So God, too, administers justice. And there's also peace. Believe it or not, there's peace through judgment. Isaiah says he will judge the nations. And then what was the consequence of that? They'll beat their swords into plowshares. The judgment of God will bring peace to this earth. Next slide. But the problem is, the challenge is rulership. See, when you want judgment, it's who is the ruler? And it also implies that when you receive judgment, that you accept their rulership or their lordship, their kingship. Here's this story coming from Moses. So this is Moses. He goes out the following day after he'd gone out to see the plight of his brothers. He killed the Egyptian who was beating the Hebrew slave, and he buries him thinking, oh, I'm going to get rid of it. So he goes out the following day and saw two Hebrew men fighting. So he said to the guilty one, so he knew who was wrong, why are you beating your companion? Basically, we got enough enemies. Why are you two fighting? But the man answered, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Are you saying you're going to kill me just as you killed the Egyptian? He didn't want to submit to his authority, which was audacious too. I mean, here Moses was the prince, and he could have had him killed and silenced him too. But he did what was right, and he ended up fleeing just for his own life. But here the guy didn't want to submit, even though he's trying to administer justice. Next. This also comes in the story when the children of Israel want a king. It's from 1 Samuel 8. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us, like all the nations. But the matter was displeasing in Samuel's eyes when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel said to Adonai, then Adonai said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you. Rather, they have rejected me from being king over them. They want a man to judge them. They want rulership from a man, not from God himself. Because that's easy. You can bribe a king. You can't bribe God. Like all the deeds that they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and worshiping other gods, so they are doing to you also. So now listen to their voice. However, you must earnestly forewarn them and declare to them the rulings of the king who will rule over them. Basically saying, you want to see what it's like when a man rules over you and not me? You're going to get a taste of it now. How did that work out? Two massive exiles? Not too good. Next. Then this happened to Yeshua. It's a story from Luke 12. Someone from the crowd said to him, to Yeshua, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Seems like a fair case. But Yeshua said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? You may think it's a peculiar statement. I read a commentary that said, well, Yeshua didn't want to get involved with everything that people were dealing with. That's your comment? But he said, listen to his explanation. Then he said to them, watch out, and be on guard against all kinds of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the material goods he possesses. Basically saying, you want me to judge you? I know your heart. I'll go far beyond inheritance, because I know the reason why you want it. And if you want me to judge you, I'm going to tell it to you like it is. Because I alone can see your heart. Samuel couldn't do that. Moses couldn't do that. But Yeshua can. And that's why there's such a push against Yeshua. Oh, we'll welcome Muhammad and Islam and the push for Sharia law. We'll welcome Buddhist chants. And Hinduism's okay. But the reason why these are all accepted and all just within the pantheon of acceptable religious practices is because none of them can see into the hearts of men. That's why Yeshua always gets the bad rap. Because he makes us the most exposed. And as he said, I came into the world to bring light. And men didn't want to like the light because their deeds were evil. They don't want to be exposed. So if someone says, do this right for me, he says, you sure? You sure you want to invite me in? Because I know a lot more about this situation than you do, than you think I do. Next. But there's a beauty of judgment, particularly the judgment of God and his Messiah. Now here's the words of Yeshua from John 15, 22 to 24. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done works among them that no one else did, they would have no sin. Now someone might say, well, I don't believe in Yeshua. I don't like Yeshua, but I like God. Did you just see the passage from 1 Samuel 8? Since I took them out of Egypt, they have disobeyed me and worshipped other gods. What is this claim? Oh, we don't need Yeshua. How many times I hear this from Jewish people? Well, I don't need Yeshua. I have God. Really? Because our track record says we haven't had a really good job following God. So God sends the one who knows our hearts, and then coming up to this, what's the beautiful part? Is from 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16, he says, but thanks be to God, who in Messiah always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us reveals everywhere the aroma of the knowledge of himself. But there's the interesting part. For we are the aroma of Messiah to God, among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, and to the other, an aroma from life to life. Those who are willing to submit to his lordship and his judgment go from life to life in triumphal procession. And those who'd rather shirk because their deeds are evil, and yet even though there's a promise to be forgiven and changed into his image, still would resist it and go from perish from death to death. Whereas in the past, God said to the people, you want a king? You want a man to rule over you? Fine. God finally says, enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to send my son, the Messiah, to lead you, not just to govern, but to change you. So to lead you from life to life, from triumph to triumph, that my judgment would give you life, to show you the fallacy of trusting in man, or trusting in your good deeds, or trusting in your great efforts. Try to do out God. Good luck. But if we trust in him and trust in his judgments and trust in his leadership, then we will be led in a triumphal procession from life to life. You know, and if I may, Tommy, I hope you don't mind what you were sharing earlier. And you said it sounded like your story, you're going from death to death. It's not one death. It's progressive. It's sinking. But now look at him. From life to life, from glory to glory. Because of his grace and his love and his judgment to say, this is wrong, but I'll forgive you and I'll change you so that you can do what's good and right. Am I right, Tommy? Amen. Next. So let's be honest. There's a beautiful psalm I'm going to read, Psalm 26 of David. Vindicate me, or in the Hebrew it literally says, judge me. Adonai, for I have walked in my integrity and trusted in Adonai without wavering. Now, this is often where people stop. I'm a good person, right? I'm okay. But notice the next words of David. Probe me, Adonai, and test me. Refine my mind and my heart. The word for refine here is just like a refining silver. You know how you refine silver? You burn it. You heat it really hot. And then you let all the bad stuff come to the top and you skim it off. And you know when it's ready? When you can see your face in it. That's the kind of honesty that God wants and that we should be seeking. I'm a good person. Great. Now ask God to refine you. For your love is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I detest the company of evildoers, and do not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I can walk around your altar, Adonai. Why should we welcome the judgment of God? So that we can be in his presence. People want to say, oh, I believe. I'm a good person. God's okay with me. I don't want to be okay with God. I want to be close to him, to walk around his altar, to see the sacrifice that Yeshua made so that I could be in the living presence of God. Next slide. Hearing the voice of thanksgiving while proclaiming all your wonders. Adonai, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. How do you get in there? By being judged by God. And we all have wonders to tell, however small, however big. It's not just something we read about the life of David, but we all have wonders to tell if we've actually gone before God and seen that God has revealed to us who we truly are and then said, but my grace is bigger. Do not take my soul away with sinners, nor my life with people of bloodshed, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hand is full of bribes. But I will walk in my integrity. Again, he says, okay, I'm going to do the best I can. And then what does he ask of God? Redeem me and be gracious to me. No matter how good you are, it still comes to the fact that God has to redeem us and God has to be gracious to us. My feet stand on level ground. Why? Because I trust in God and I hear his words and I do them. In congregations, I will bless Adonai. We all have something with which we can praise God here to give glory to God. And it starts with welcoming the judgment of God. We have to be honest with God, with ourselves. And we have to welcome the judgment of God. And likewise, judge ourselves, examine ourselves, right? Doesn't it say that in the scriptures? Matthew 5. Before you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, look at the log in your own. So you take it out. Why? So that you can actually take out your brother's speck. That we can actually bless others when we judge ourselves with the loving judgment of God. And I'll give you a practical example. I said to my family, all of us, we sat together and said, what fruit of the Spirit do you want more of this coming year? It was really cute to hear little children say this. I said, joy. Peace. I said patience. It's true. I'm not perfect. Self-control. And then practically, how am I going to go about this? And you learn this a lot in biblical counseling. I told myself, before I speak, I'm going to breathe. Because the tension is I want to respond immediately. If I just do this, I can control myself. I can be more patient. The judgment of God is not vague. It's not theoretical. It's honest and it's practical. And that's how we should treat ourselves. That's how we should treat our relationships. Because Yeshua said, let our good works shine before men so that they may see them and give glory to God our Father in heaven. We can be changed. There's nothing that God can't do. And we have a hope, a living hope in Yeshua, an anchor for our soul, that if we pursue him and welcome his judgment, it's not to our demise or our shame, but to our life, to our triumphal procession. And this will give hope to a dying world. We're stuck, trapped in their own feelings and their own problems. But saying there is a better way. Let God see your heart and forgive you, to be gracious unto you, and he will redeem you. Chag Sameach.